Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Vanessa and Gallant radio program on this Tuesday, March 29th of 2022. I am Paul Gallant. Still no Vanessa. We think we will have her back tomorrow. She is up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're still hoping for the best. We will keep you posted on anything that we hear. And just keep Vanessa in your thoughts. We have Sean Mapes behind the glass, our brand new producer, one day on the job. He is back for day number two, so that's good. I haven't run him off quite yet. And we might be finally done talking about something. I was thinking about this long and hard last night, and I know for a lot of y'all out there, you're thinking to yourself, good God, we have heard way too much Deshaun Watson talk over the last year. But now that he's in Cleveland, the trade happened, you know what the Texans got in exchange. Now that he has the new contract, now that he has done that completely full of crap press conference that you saw him do on Friday. What a Friday news dump that was. Now that all that's done, we can turn the page, right? And I saw this from Lovie Smith yesterday, courtesy of one Brooks Kubina from the Houston Chronicle. Lovie Smith spoke about just moving on from Deshaun Watson. I know for me, Watson's presence was there last year. And it must have been. It must have been super awkward to be a coach, a player on that team with Watson there. Even if he wasn't at practice, even if he was not doing anything, you're still thinking to yourself, I'm on this football team that drafted this quarterback who played pretty damn well for the first couple of seasons, and he's just part of his team, but he's not there. There's sexual misconduct investigations that are going into him. Smith continued yesterday, I know for Deshaun, we had one of the best players in football not playing. That's not good for the league. So for him to move on, it has to be good. Okay. For us, yes, we want to be talking about Houston Texans football. Do we? Really? I know you do, Lovey. Me? I don't know yet. Now we're able to do that. It is final. As you go forward, adding the picks, we know what our future looks like. I don't know if you know what your future looks like. Again, you're moving on from the guy, and I think there is a little bit of regret in the eyes of everybody just because it got to this point, but obviously the sexual misconduct investigation took place, and I don't think that the Texans were going to bring him back because we all know that they are good, good, good people. They do not like anybody who could be considered a malcontent or a bad person. That's the Texans' way. I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm just saying that is what it is. They pride themselves in the fact that they can, I guess, look at themselves in the mirror and be morally superior to other NFL teams. It's their perception or self-perception. As much as anything wrapped up, Lovie Smith, just to be able to do that is pretty special, and we're excited about moving on. So we're done with this, right? Everything is over. We can move on. We could go on to talking about the Texans draft. Okay, they do have two picks in the first round. That's fun. Talking about what players on the team are good. I guess Brandon Cooks might get an extension. That's kind of neat. But we're turning the page. At least I think we are. And then I saw this yesterday. Mike Florio was on the Rich Eisen show. And Florio was asked about what kind of suspension Deshaun Watson can expect this season, how many games he might miss. Here was what Mike Florio had to say to Rich Eisen.
Now, to the extent that he thinks he's going to get suspended six games and everything's going to be fine, he may not play for a full year. And then next year he'd get suspended. And then it would be over. So that's something he needs to factor into his intention or not to settle these cases.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, he might not play next year? I mean, that's good for the Texans. Maybe we will be watching Deshaun Watson creepily from afar, hoping for him to play zero games. But I need a little more. Mike Florio continued with Rich Eisen and expanded on why it's actually possible that Watson could miss perhaps the entire year next season.
I think it's entirely possible that if 22 cases are pending, when August rolls around, they'll put him on paid leave. And I think that he needs to understand that in no uncertain terms. And once he does, that's when his no intention to settle the cases will become every intention to settle the cases. But he's got to understand what it means to fight. And even though there's not a price to be paid, because he still gets paid, the price is you don't get to play. And the NFL has always said they don't think that's punishment. Of course it's punishment. I mean, you want to give anybody else a paid vacation from their job, 99% of the people out there would say, I'll take it. But for football players, they want to do their job. They want to play, especially after a guy sat out all last year for different reasons, but similar. This year, if he starts his time in Cleveland with the league saying, you're on ice until these 22 cases are over, if he knows that, then he gets these cases settled, I believe.
In a nutshell, Florio is saying that if Deshaun Watson decides to fight this, that there is a chance that this will take a really long time for everything to resolve itself, and that the NFL might not have him back on the field, allow him to go back on the field, if he does not have everything in the rearview mirror. I think once everything is settled in civil court, assuming it gets to that point, I think it's a fair assumption to make, then the NFL will probably give him a 6-game suspension, 8-game suspension. You have to remember with the NFL, when it comes to punishments, it's like a revolving wheel. We have no bleeping clue what the hell they're going to do for any random act that a player does, let alone 22 alleged acts of sexual misconduct. But if Watson fights this, it sounds like he's going to, based off of what we heard Friday, then that makes the Texans' next pick for the 2023 season potentially a good one. So you know what? I mean, I don't want to sound callous, mean, evil, etc., etc. I mean, I want these people that are going after Deshaun Watson, I want them to get some sort of peace after the fact. And maybe that comes in a civil court. Probably doesn't, but whatever. You get to move on. But, you know, it's best for the Texans for Deshaun Watson to fight this. So, I mean, Rusty Harden, let's lawyer up, baby. Rusty Harden, let's get this fought. Let's fight the good fight. Let's fight for democracy, for justice, for the Texans to have a better draft pick, for all of those things that matter so much in this country of ours. You know, I pledge allegiance to the flag, all of those things, justice. I don't want anyone to, you know, potentially be wrong, but I really want the Texans to have a better draft pick in 2023. Am I a horrible person? Yes, I know I am. I kind of want them to fight this, and I wonder if they will. Everything that Watson said on Friday screams of a man who is going to fight this until the very bitter end. To go down in a blaze of glory, essentially. I don't think it's a great idea for him, but if you're going to be true to what you said in the press conference where you said, I did not, wait, Rusty, what am I supposed to say? I did not sexually assault. I did not disrespect. I forget the third thing, but I didn't do any of those things that you said that I'm doing. But I will see counseling if it means that you will get off my ass. All of those things that he was saying in his press conference, that to me means that he is going to try to fight this. I don't know exactly how this legal system is going to work, and I don't know if you take each of these cases on an individual by individual basis or something like that, or if you try them all at the same time. I imagine some of these cases are mildly similar, so that you probably could have a pretty good feel for what to do in the next version of this case, assuming the same judge is seeing all these things. But there are so many things on the legal side of things I don't quite understand. All I know is that it is for the best of the Texans if Deshaun Watson decides to fight this thing. And I guess we will be focusing on Deshaun Watson from afar. I don't really want him anymore, you know? But we're at this point, too, where we look at the Texans going into this offseason, and sure, they seem to be taking some very, very baby steps in the right direction. They haven't done anything bad since Nick Caserio really took over. And now that the Deshaun Watson trade is done, I feel like you can have, as Lovie Smith was saying, a really clear conscience going forward. You can turn the page. You don't have to think about the fact that you had this great quarterback that now you're just playing the lottery with for the next couple of years in the draft, hoping that you can find a guy like that again. But you turn the page. And now we're going to figure out whether or not Davis Mills is good. I'll be perfectly honest. Like, I only watched a little bit of Davis Mills this past season because I was still in this weird phase where I'm like, wait, am I going to be covering Seattle sports next year? Am I going to be able to cover the Texans again? Am I going to be back in Houston? I hope I am. I don't know what the hell is going on. So I watched a couple of games of Davis Mills. Over the next couple of weeks, especially leading up to the NFL's draft, because I think that's the best time to have a good idea of what I like and what I don't like, I want to know if I actually like him. I want to know if I can actually talk myself into Davis Mills. Some of you guys have. Other of y'all, and I think you guys are the correct, in that you're thinking, nah, probably not. Probably not is the best, I think, approach that you should have with Davis Mills. He's probably not the guy. Could he be? Sure. Could he develop? I guess. But I think that the safe assumption to make is that he's probably not going to be that guy. And that going into this draft, you should not rule out the idea, if you are the Texans, of drafting one of these quarterbacks. You shouldn't. Because you have a ton of draft picks in the next couple of years, and if you're not going to be good this coming season, then shoot, you might find yourself in the same situation that the Cardinals did after drafting Josh Rosen top 10, they drafted Kyler Murray the next season. Don't rule it out. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 as well. We're thinking about Vanessa and her pops up in Indianapolis right now. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Taking your phone calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Are we finally able to move on from Deshaun Watson? Do you want me to never talk about Deshaun Watson again? Or do you want me to, you know, keep on creeping over the fence and say, hey, whoa, Deshaun, you want to fight this case, huh? Because the Texans a little bit of a better draft pick? You can weigh in on that. Also, coming up next, the Dallas Cowboys are in this very funny spot where they're good, but they're not great. Am I a bad person? Am I a lame person? Am I a loser for reveling in quotes like this one from Jerry Jones? You'll hear it next right here. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're wishing her the best. We got a text from the 832, prayers for Vanessa and her family. We're all feeling the same way. We miss Vanessa. Can't wait to have her back. She might be back on the air with us from Indianapolis tomorrow. We'll keep you posted as far as that goes. We do have a couple of responses to the last segment. Are we done with Deshaun Watson? A comment on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975 from Todd the Show. We are done with Deshaun Watson. We are done. Meanwhile, on Twitter, at Gallant Says is my Twitter handle, at Sports Vanessa for Vanessa Richardson and Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. That's his Twitter handle. Got a tweet from Not Santa. Seriously, Paul needs an intervention. He can't quit Deshaun on his own.
First steps of many, you have a problem, Paul.
Okay. So I do have a problem, Sean, in your opinion.
No, I mean, if...
Ooh, see, you're talking around it. Listen, this doesn't have to be an intervention. But
Paul,
you...
listen, I care about you.
Okay, thank
Everyone
you.
Everyone in this room cares about you, thank which is you. Just me, but I care about you.
Okay, so that means that you're sort of hinting that you're concerned, but we're not quite at intervention phase yet.
There's been a lot of talk about peeping over fences and, you know, some real voyeuristic behavior on your part during this football season. When it comes to Deshaun, I just want to nip it in the bud.
It's
not quite maybe at intervention level, but we just need to have a serious.
I want Deshaun to fight this. I'm sorry. What? You know, like what happened to democracy, the American ideals?
You want the truth to be heard.
Right. Like on Friday, I thought he was a piece of crap. But now that I realize that if he fights this, that he might give the Texans a better draft pick, I want him to fight this for democracy, for America. What's wrong with that? This isn't an addict. I'm not an addict. No, I'm fine.
You can stop anytime you want.
Yeah, anytime I want. Anytime. I'm serious. Looking at me with his face like, No, I don't have a problem. God, Sean, jeez. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. We're very happy to have Sean Mapes as our new producer. So I teased this before jumping into the segment. I guess this is what we have right now to revel in, is just to make fun of the Cowboys. You know, they hired Brian Schottenheimer. He's like one of the least qualified coaches that we've ever seen, having like a 10-year career or so in the NFL. Someone put up this post, I think it was Roger Sherman, and it was just a list of all the things that he has been associated with when teams have been bad. But the Cowboys brought in Brian Schottenheimer to be like this, hey, he studies trends for us, and he's going to tell us about all the trends for Mike McCarthy. Well, Jerry Jones had this to say, and it was about off-field attention, because, you know, there's like, as he's calling it, an extortion charge that's against him that he's publicly acknowledging. You got the sexual harassment stuff that's going on with the Cowboys. And he said this, when you spend 30-something years saying, look at us, hey, wait, you're looking away, we're the Cowboys, look at us, we're the Cowboys. When it's been that way, then when you have some things you might not want to look at, you get looked at. That's good. Again, with Jerry, all publicity is good publicity. It's not. I mean, the Cowboys over the last 30 years, any real Cowboy fan will tell you that they are battered, beaten down, and depressed by the fact that this team has been the most talked about, like, sub-500 team generally. Although, I guess from time to time, you know, they're 9-7. They are the most exposed team that really hasn't done a whole lot of anything. And this is what we have to laugh at. At the very least, even though things are completely disastrous here for the Houston Texans, and we'll see if they're able to get out of the rubble. I'm not ruling that possibility out. But at the very least, things up north do not seem like they are going to get any better in the very near future. But we still keep on getting reminders like this. Dolphins general manager Chris Greer was asked about the Laremy Tunsil trade, producing all it did for Miami, which helped them get the Tyreek Hill trade done. I still remember the day we traded him. We were crying. In terms of the return, I never would have guessed it would have led to all this. I guess they were crying because they got rid of Laremy Tunsil, but they might have been crying because they got 2 first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil, and they were tears of joy. Wow. How did we do this? Oh, yeah. Bill O'Brien. Classic. That's our Bill. Wild Bill. Don't give him the controls in Madden. He will trade that whole team away for all of the draft picks. DeAndre Hopkins, second round pick and fourth round pick. But you got David Johnson too. I wish Bill O'Brien would put out an apology on notes or something like that. And by the way, that, I know we talked all day about Will Smith yesterday. Will Smith, notes apology. So brave. So courageous. What is it with people doing notes apologies? Why can't you just, I don't know, talk to the person that needs the apology face to face?
Or just, he has a PR firm. Like, you can just use a different, you know, release format. Like, you don't have to literally use your phone.
Yeah, you could slap somebody else. Slap, I don't know, a Russian soldier or a Nazi or something like that, you know? I mean, that'll make people like you again.
Oh, an apology TikTok is what you're suggesting.
Ooh, okay, yeah. You know what? An apology TikTok, 5 seconds, he slaps himself. So it's like, whoops, my bad.
Yeah, he slaps, you know, yeah, Russian soldier. He slaps whatever.
Right.
And then slaps yourself.
Yeah.
We all need to be slapped sometimes.
We do.
I'm Will Smith, and I prove this message.
I am Will Smith. Sometimes we need to be slapped. He wrote this. Violence in all its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are a part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. If I'm not mistaken, alopecia is similar to balding. I don't think it's a disease where you're in danger of dying or something like that. It's entirely an appearance thing. And I got to say, too, I mean, I thought Jada Pinkett rocked the no hair look because she's hot. That's how it works. I guess, mean to make fun of somebody for it. But I feel like if you're really sensitive about something like that, there are things to be way more sensitive about. Whatever. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line and I was wrong. I am embarrassed and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. Yes, especially if you're a vessel of love, which is what Will Smith is. Love. That's it. Nothing more. Publicly apologize to Chris. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. How about do it to his face, chicken? I mean, it takes a human being. I'm not saying a big man or a big woman. It takes a human being to admit when they're wrong. But you have to do it face to face with somebody for it to be authentic. This is a load of crap. You got to do it face to face. He continues, I would like to apologize to the Academy, the producers of the show, all the attendees and everyone watching around the world. I would like to apologize to the Williams family and the King Richard, my King Richard family. I deeply regret that my behavior has stained what has been an otherwise gorgeous journey for all of us. I am a work in progress. Sincerely, Will. That's nice. We're all a work in progress.
I love a good sincerely.
Yeah, Sean. I think now he's a little bit more human because he said, I am a work in progress. Yeah, he got away with slapping the hell out of somebody on national TV, but he's a work in progress, so it's fine. You can move on. And he apologized with a notes app. It had me thinking, okay, in the world of sports, who else has done notes apologies? Who else? You'll never guess who. You will never guess. This is the least likely person to put up a notes apology. I'm saying this somewhat sarcastically. Who do you feel like, Sean, over the last calendar year in particular, has probably had the most to apologize for in the world of sports?
Ooh, that's a good. I know Deshaun hasn't.
Deshaun's fine. Innocent. And he needs to fight this so that the Texans get a better draft.
The truth will come out at one point. He'll talk about it, but today is not that day.
Correct.
He's more than happy to talk about it, but not right now.
Exactly. So, over the last calendar year, there is actually a really obvious one. Can you guess him?
No, I'm drawing a blank of who's been...
The name is Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer did not put out a notes apology for all the stuff that's been out about him recently. No, he put out a notes apology on August 24th of 2018. And if I'm not mistaken, this had to do with that coach. What was his name?
Yeah, the Ohio State.
Zach Day, I think.
No, that's Ryan Day's. Zach Smith.
That sounds right. Yeah, whatever the case. Sean, look that up for me. I was looking this up in the break. I was thinking, who else in sports has done a notes apology? And it's just looked really terrible. My words and demeanor on Wednesday did not show how seriously I take relationship violence. I sincerely apologize. I was taught at a very young age that if I ever hit a woman, I would be kicked out of the house and never welcomed back. I have the same rule in my house and in the football program at Ohio State, except for with that one coach. Over the years, we have worked hard to educate and remind our coaches and players of the seriousness of relationship violence. I understand my lack of more action in this situation has raised concerns about this commitment. I once again apologize for all of this and extend my empathy to all men, women, blah, blah, blah. And I sincerely apologize to Courtney Smith and her children for what they have gone through. Okay, great. Urban Meyer, note apology enthusiast. There's a couple other ones in the world of sports. Jamal Charles wrote a notes apology because in 2017, he, I guess, tweeted out that, I can't believe we're going to Africa today. Oh my God, what if we get Ebola? That was in 2017. I mean, that's messed up to say. Is it the weirdest thought to have go through your head?
It is a weird thought, but it's also...
What a
golden time where that was what people had to apologize for. Will Smith smacked a man in front of millions of people and has to apologize. Jamal Charles made a joke about Ebola and had to notes that.
It might have been a joke. It might have been a serious question. I mean, it's 2017. You might get malaria in Africa, too.
Like, wasn't that big Zika times?
Yeah, I mean, there's a... Look, I feel like it's fair to tweet out, like, hey... I don't want to get, I wonder if I will get some of these terrible things in Africa. Africa is, compared to the other continents, if you go to certain places, it's rather underdeveloped. And if you end up getting something like this, like, you're probably in pretty crappy shape. But he put out a long post and started off, okay, I'm not going to post a BS apology, he wrote in his notes app. What else do we have? Oh, Logan Paul. Logan Paul's a boxer.
Oh, with the forest thing. The forest.
The dead people in the dead people in the forest. He was making jokes next to a man's dead body. Where do I begin? Let's start with this. I'm sorry. This is a first for me. Okay. I've never faced criticism like this before. What? All right. So,
is that
anyway.
Like a good thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, obviously you haven't faced criticism like this before.
So, notes, apologies. They're a thing. Will Smith did one, and people in the world of sports, they do it as well. Will Deshaun Watson do a notes apology? I'm sorry. I'm addicted. I clearly am. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant. No Vanessa today. We're hoping that she'll be back tomorrow. She's up in Indianapolis with her dad. Please give her dad, your best thoughts if you can. Up next, there is something that the Texans did a couple of years ago that a lot of people are laughing at, right? Trading DeAndre Hopkins. But you're seeing across the NFL where all of a sudden teams are starting to get a little bit nervous about paying wide receivers. So I have this question for you. Is it actually worth it to pay a wide receiver in today's NFL? I'll give you the answer that I have next right here. Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, Vanessa, just Paul. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her dad. Again, all the well wishes you send her way, I'm sure she appreciates them. I definitely appreciate y'all giving it to us. We are obviously just starting as a show, and this is a tough time, but we want to be a family here. Sean Mapes, now part of our family here on the radio. We roll until noon today. A couple of texts in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, because we're convinced that I'm addicted to Deshaun Watson talk. I think this text is sarcastic from the 713. No, I'm not done with Deshaun Watson. Base all the shows around him like the past year. Okay. I feel like that's sarcastic. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like the weird... It's weird enough that there are Tennessee Titans fans that live here. I think y'all are losers, no offense. I don't understand what the appeal is. Like, it's not like they're a good team. Their uniforms aren't great. Their quarterback is Ryan Tannehill. Like, what is it? Oh, well, they used to be here. Yeah, they left you 20 years ago. It's kind of sad, depressing. But I don't want to be the Cleveland Browns-focused show either going forward. Because, I mean, that also, loser organization. Now, we don't want that loser juice on us. But, Paul... You cover the Texans on a daily basis. Shut up. I know. We all know. Another text. Man, bleep Deshaun Watson. Yeah, like, that's kind of how I feel about the conversation about it. And yet I keep on going back to it. Another text from the 713. Honestly, and this is from Eric, you're not done with Watson until all the picks are taken from Cleveland. You will pay attention for years, since where you draft has to do with him. In a way, you will. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you are going to be essentially rooting against the Cleveland Browns for the next couple of years, or rooting for Deshaun Watson to fight the good fight, to get his day slash days, keyword days, in court. 100%. 713-780. ESPN is how you text in. You can also tweet at Gallant Says. You can get after us on Twitch, too. King of Twitch, Houston, on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says, do we need a GoFundMe set up for you to get you a wireless mouse? I had one. It just died, and I've been too lazy to go get one. So maybe? I mean, listen, I will take all the charity I can get because I'm cheap.
Are they mouse shaming you?
They are mouse shaming me right now. I don't blame them, though. This computer is actually trash. It has like 4 gigs of RAM, super slow, always loses the Twitch chat if I minimize the actual window where we have it, yada, yada, yada. We were, I think, all rightfully so pissed off when the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins. This is a guy who was well on his way to being maybe your second best player ever in franchise history, right? I mean, I think career trajectory-wise, I think it's fair to believe that Hopkins will be looked back at after his career as a better wide receiver than Andre Johnson. Maybe that's a controversial take. We don't want to hear it now, but I think that what Hopkins has done, barring injury going forward, with the numbers he's put up to open his career, I think it's pretty fair to believe that Hopkins will be looked at as a better receiver all time. J.J. Watt's probably your number one Texan of all time, given that he actually got an MVP vote as a defensive player. But trading him sucked. It was terrible. You didn't get anything back in return for him either that was really going to help you out. And then you see the Tyreek Hill trade, the Devontae Adams trade this offseason. And you're like, good God, the Texans could have gotten so much in exchange for this. But I have a question. Is having a highly paid wide receiver actually worth it? This is a question that other teams across the NFL are answering themselves right now. Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean was asked about Stephon Diggs a couple of years from now. We've got Stephon Diggs for 2 years, so we know that. At the right time, we'll work with his reps and see if there's something to be done that works for him. He's a winner. He's all in on winning. And sure, everyone wants to be paid, but he wants to be on a winning team. That might be the case, but let's not forget, this guy was a pain in the ass towards the end of his time in Minnesota. Was it justified since he was working with Kirk Cousins? You could make that argument, but he has been a pain in the ass before. And let's be honest, wide receivers, as far as positions across the league go, are definitely the ones with the biggest egos considering the amount of actual volume that they get on a game-to-game basis. They are entirely dependent on the quarterback throwing them the football. Titans general manager John Robinson on A.J. Brown, who's getting towards the end of his rookie deal. He is a great teammate. He works hard. He's about what we're about. A.J. is a Titan, and we want to keep A.J. a Titan. That's part of our goal this offseason, or whenever that manifests itself, to come to an agreement to keep him around. And maybe they will give him a long-term deal. Seattle Seahawks general manager John Schneider was asked about DK Metcalf, and he was a little bit less committed going forward than John Robinson, and less dismissive of the idea that there could be Stephon Diggs drama going down the road like Brandon Bean was. He said this: he's an unbelievable player. It's a great question because when you look at it around the league, you look at Devontae deal, you look at Mike Williams deal, and obviously what happened with Tyreek. And I think Schneider's one of the better general managers in the league. I know that maybe things haven't been great for Seattle of late, but I actually do think he's done a pretty good job. So I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe he's onto something. Maybe having a highly paid wide receiver is actually a liability for you. So let's take a look at the most highly paid wide receivers across the NFL. We will find out what Devontae Adams can bring to the Las Vegas Raiders this coming season. He is the most on an annual basis, from an annual basis, he is the second highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. He's getting $28 million a year. Do you think that $28 million a year going to a wide receiver, if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, is going to be the difference between where you ended your season last year and where you will end your season this coming season? Do you feel like that is going to be the biggest difference? I don't, personally. I mean, I think that the Raiders could be better. He would definitely have a better wide receiver core, but we're going to have to wait and see when it comes to him and Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's in Miami. I know for a fact that with the quarterbacks that they have right now, Tyreek Hill is not going to be enough of a difference maker to get the Miami Dolphins to a Super Bowl. Okay, so let's look at some other wide receivers. On an annual basis, the highest paid receivers in the league. Are they playing for winning teams? Have they won championships? Number three, DeAndre Hopkins. Getting paid about $27.25 million a year annually. He's on the Cardinals. Cardinals have been fun in the first half of the season. DJ Moore just got a huge deal from the Panthers. He's getting paid $20 million a year annually. They're a mess of an organization. Keenan Allen getting $20 million a year annually. The Chargers blow it every single year. Amari Cooper's with the Browns, $20 million a year annually. And you keep going down the list, outside of Chris Godwin, who's coming off a torn ACL, and Mike Williams. You go through the list, Mike Williams, Michael Thomas, Christian Kirk, Kenny Golladay, Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Allen Robinson. The highest paid wide receivers in the league aren't playing for teams that are winning a whole lot. So we talk about having quarterbacks on rookie contracts. You want wide receivers on rookie contracts. You want to be the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase right now. You want to be one of these teams that has a guy that is on that rookie deal with them. Because when you start to get to the point where you're giving a player who is getting the ball 8-9 times a game, $20, $30 million a year, does that really help you out? How much better does it make you? And when you're dedicating maybe $40 million of cap space to two guys or something like that, where is it getting you? The Rams are an exception because they had Robert Woods and they had Cooper Kupp. They aren't paying those guys like they should be paid. Robert Woods is a great receiver, I think. Cooper, now he's with the Tennessee Titans. Cooper Kupp was the best receiver in the NFL last year And on an annual basis, he's getting half of what Tyreek Hill's getting. So I feel like, in a way, it's not like the Texans made the right choice because the return that they got for DeAndre Hopkins is the biggest problem. But I kind of get the logic going forward for teams that are looking at wide receivers, because a contract for some of these guys is a complete albatross. And I am wondering what this is really going to get the Raiders, what this is really going to get the Dolphins. They're certainly better, but how much better? Super Bowl better? I don't think so. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're wishing the best for them. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, 713-780-3776. You with me on this one? Wide receivers ain't worth paying. Also up next, who will the Astros starting pitcher be to open the season? Sounds like it's not going to be Justin Verlander. You'll hear why next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No Vanessa today, up in Indianapolis with her dad. Again, we are wishing her the best. Send well wishes her way. Please, really, would mean a lot to me, would mean a lot to her too. That's for sure. Sean Mapes is behind the glass, taking your call, 713-780-3776. And your text too at 713-780-ESPN. This text, again, I'm not addicted to Deshaun Watson talk. I'm just responding to the conversations.
We have a bunch of enablers on the text line.
We do. Thank you, Sean. I'm going to blame everybody else for my problem.
There we go.
Not me. That's a real healthy Deshaun Watson addict here. Text, typically when a notable player gets traded or released, they send a thank you note, notes app, to the fans, city, and team. Did Deshaun ever do that? I don't expect him to, but it just shows his character if he didn't. Thanks from Bridge City, Texas. He has not to this point. I don't expect him to either. In his defense, somewhat, I mean, what do you think is going to happen when he puts that out there? He, remember, did not want to play for this team after having just signed a four-year, $160 million contract. Just one season later, he was out. And no matter how you feel about the Jack Easterby situation in the Texans front office, no matter how you feel about Bill O'Brien having been his head coach for that time and putting the team in a spot where roster-wise the talent wasn't there, not a lot of flexibility for the future because they didn't have any of the draft picks, you can understand why, okay, if you want out, should you say anything on the way out? Don't you kind of look like you're full of it? I suppose it does show that you have character if you say, oh, thanks to the fans, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know. I mean, Russell Wilson forced his way out of Seattle to Denver, and he did that. I think there are some people who are like, thank you, Russ, for everything you did, even though you forced your way out of town. There are others who I feel like the ones who can see through the BS, they see through it. And I think anyone would see through that if Deshaun were to have done something like that. Some Astros news, and it comes from today in West Palm Beach. Per Dusty Baker, Justin Verlander probably will not start their opening day game against the Angels on April 7th. Baker said the team's deciding, or excuse me, he intimated the team is deciding between Verlander and Framber Valdez. Asked directly if Verlander is his opening day starter, he replied, probably not, but refused to confirm Valdez as the opening day starter, saying, if I said I don't know, you can't put words in my mouth, even though that's your job. Which is kind of funny. So, I guess based off of the way spring training is going, Valdez, who started yesterday's game against St. Louis, he is on schedule, as things currently stand, to pitch on April 7th. I'm going to tell you what, this is the right move. There are weird things in baseball that I don't get, but there is definitely a prestige and an honor that comes with being a team's opening day starter, especially if you are a contender. And while Framber Valdez hasn't been necessarily the most consistent player, this guy on the Astros has a ton of upside, and he's also been there for you over the course of the last year. I don't think it would be a good look to the rest of the clubhouse if Verlander, who misses a year, yes, because he was rehabbing from injury, but was away from the team in a way that supposedly turned off some players. I don't think it would be a good look for him to come back a year later and just be put into that role. And does it really matter who's the opening day starter? It doesn't. It really doesn't. Not at all. It only matters from an ego perspective. It's sort of the same thing with if you play shortstop and you're asked to move to another position, like we've seen in the past with Alex Rodriguez, with when he joined the New York Yankees and Derek Jeter, sometimes that turns into a Schmenzer measuring competition itself. I could see how maybe Verlander would be annoyed by this, but who cares at this point? You know, Valdez is the younger guy. He was with you last year. And I feel like this is a sign of, hey, maybe we didn't give you all you wanted in arbitration, but at the very least, going forward, we want you to know that we think you're our ace. Because that's basically what you're telling somebody. Can you believe, by the way, that Valdez's arbitration is $3 million? I was listening to John and Lance talk about that this morning. I was like, what? That's it? That's awesome for the Astros. Terrible for Valdez. I mean, and you got him under team control for a hot minute. So you may as well just roll into the idea of Valdez as who's not even, you know, who's in pre-arbitration, essentially, and is under team control until 2026. You may as well just roll into this. Hey, we get it. You're not thrilled with what you're making, but you're our ace. I feel bad for baseball players. That just sucks, right? I mean, you're good, but you're 28 years old. You're probably getting to the point where you're not going to be improving that much as a player in the near future.
He's not going to be on the open market until he's 32 years old.
Isn't that bogus?
That's insane.
I legitimately feel bad for him. Again, he's making a ton of money.
Yeah, $3 million is $3 million.
Yeah, I'd love to have $3 million. We all would love to have $3 million. But if you're a good pitcher in baseball, and even if you are from the Dominican Republic or something, or from another country where you were found and you probably wouldn't have been discovered without baseball teams sort of sweeping through, and you got to wait until you're 32 to get a real contract, it sucks.
Have you seen Ozzie Albee's contract and some of the
I have Atlanta... not, Sean.
Oh, man.
Worse?
It is so bad what the Atlanta Braves are doing to some of these guys.
I'm not surprised.
Cunha and to Ozzie Albee's.
Ozzie Albee's. Okay, so he's a second baseman for the Braves of Atlanta. A name that has not been changed yet, but we'll get them someday, those bastards.
By the time Framber Valdez is a free agent, the name will be changed.
Right. Braves? Whoa, you're assuming an entire culture of people are brave. That's messed up, man. There's nothing wrong. You know, that's toxic masculinity.
So Ozzie Albee is one of the best second basemen in the game, is making $5 million this year, and he's making $7 million every year until 2028.
Oh, my God.
He's a free agent.
Wow, that...
He's making $7 million.
Did he sign that? Like, yeah, he signed a seven-year, $35 million deal. Damn. Well, I mean, I suppose it's all relative. He's from Venezuela, so if you're from a country like that, I think you're like, yeah, I'm going to take every single dime I can get as quickly as I can.
Security, yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know what? He might have family back there, and we all know that that whole country's a bleeping mess, so that might be part of it. Damn, though. That's what happens. You know what's a shame? Like, remember when the Astros gave Jonathan Singleton that contract, like, well ahead of time? Like, yeah, he's going to be it. And I saw recently there was some picture of Jonathan Singleton, who is with a baseball team right now. He's with, like, the Milwaukee Brewers. He was in training camp, and it was him, and the other guy that was with him was, get this, Tyler White. So, like, these two random ex-Astro, like, quadruple A players who were always up and down, up and down. The only guy that was missing was A.J. Reed, like, random Astros first baseman who were really hyped, who hit, like, a billion home runs in Fresno, and then they come up to the major leagues, and they were, like, not very good. Although White at least had some moments.
He was decent. You said it was the Braves, right? Or the Brewers, right?
The Brewers, yeah. They were with the Brewers.
Is their computer just, like, not, like, hasn't been updated since 2016?
Probably not. probably not. But look, it's fine. You know, you try to get some of that championship pedigree. You milk every little bit of it from that proverbial baseball teat. You know, you just try to, yeah, that was gross. Anyway, we'll just move on past that. But look, you just try. You squeeze and you squeeze and you squeeze. I'm just kidding. Like, that is one of those things where, okay, well, they're here. That's also got to suck, too. If you get to the point where, as like a baseball player, you're a career minor leaguer. I'm assuming you don't make much money as a AAA player. You come get called up from time to time. You're playing baseball for a living, so that's fun. But going back and forth and back
riding
and forth.
Riding buses all over the place to like Birmingham.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain point where riding a bus just loses its appeal. And I would say that's like immediately when you turn 25. Again, sometimes you have to. You don't have a choice. But good God, riding the bus, not a fan. Did it in Seattle from time to time. One time I was riding a bus to go back to, because Seattle actually has a pretty good light rail system. You know, that actually goes all over the city for the most part. Of course, anyone who has a car, they're like taxing their eyeballs off so that they can fund this. But I remember once being in a bus and all of a sudden an Antifa protest got in the way of the bus and we were stuck. And the poor bus driver didn't know how to U-turn the bus. So we had to call somebody to come to the bus and do a U-turn with it. Because we were like just stuck on a pretty steep hill. And the person had no idea how to turn the car. And some pissed off other bus driver, like, drove over, got in, and, like, definitely was banging things because he was mad that he had to get called over here, and then turned around for the poor bus driver.
That's got to be the most emasculating feeling in the world.
Yeah.
To be like, I don't know how to turn this bus around.
Yeah, this
and
is my
this
job.
And this other guy has to come in, literally just turn the bus around and yeah. then walk off. It's like, okay, I got it from here.
Yeah. Yeah, that must suck. But anyway, that's downtown Seattle for you. You know, you see sights you never thought you'd see, you hoped you'd never see. You know, make eye contact with somebody going number twosies on the sidewalk. No fun. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa. It's Vanessa and Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. I think we're done with Deshaun Watson talk going forward. I'm trying to stay away from Deshaun Watson talk going forward. But we do have something that could help the Texans out this coming season, depending on what Deshaun Watson does. I'll tell you what it is next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.